However, Starbuck, who had the ordering of affairs, hung on to it to the last, hung on to it so resolutely, indeed, that when at length the ship would have been capsized, if still persisting in locking arms with the body, then when the command was given to break clear from it, such was the immovable strain upon the timber heads to which the fluke chains and cables were fastened, that it was impossible to cast them off. Meantime, everything in the Pequod was aslant. To cross to the other side of the deck was like walking up the steep gabled roof of a house. The ship groaned and gasped. Many of the ivory inlayings of her bulwarks and cabins were started from their places by the unnatural dislocation. In vain handspikes and crows were brought to bear upon the immovable fluke chains to pry them adrift from the timber heads, and so low had the whale now settled that the submerged ends could not be at all approached, while every moment whole tons of ponderosity seemed added to the sinking bulk, and the ship seemed on the point of going over.
"Hold on! Hold on, won't ye?" cried Stubb to the body. "Don't be in such a devil of a hurry to sink. By thunder, men, we must do something or go for it.
No use prying there.
Avast, I say, with your handspikes, and run one of ye for a prayer book and a penknife, and cut the big chains."
"Knife?
Aye, aye,"
cried Queequeg, and seizing the carpenter's heavy hatchet, he leaned out of a porthole, and steel to iron, began slashing at the largest fluke chains,